Okay. In this week's parsha, we have a repetition, because it's already repeated earlier in Vayikra, but we have a repetition, as we find sometimes in Sefer Dvarim, of some laws regarding prohibited activities that have to do with magic, superstition, kishuf, nichush, these types of things the Torah does not want us doing. The Torah ends off the section by saying, tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, one should be honest, truthful, innocent with Hashem. It's observant to the mitzvahs. We don't go looking for shortcuts in order to figure out the future or what's going to be or things of that nature. And this leads us to a discussion regarding a very popular concept in Jewish lore, which is the Goral Hagra, the famous lottery of the Vilna Gaon, or which is ascribed to the Vilna Gaon. First, we're going to discuss what it is. We'll go through some of the highlights and history of usage of the Goral Hagra. We're going to raise a very serious halachic problem. Hopefully, we'll give an answer for it. And we'll talk about some contemporary issues that apply to this issue as well. There is a sefer, a three-volume set written by Rav Dov Eliach, who is considered a great collector and biographer of the Vilna Gaon and the Beis Medrash of the Vilna Gaon, called Hagon. If you can get a copy of it, it's a good thing to get, because it has not been sold or reprinted for a long time, because Rav Eliach decided to drum up some of the old issues between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim in a major part of one of the volumes of his book Hagon, and that upset a lot of the Hasidic dynasties, and they really put a lot of pressure on it, and the book is not so found anymore, but if you do find it, you're in luck. It's a good thing to have. So in the third volume, at the very end of the third volume of Hagon, even though it's not really, it's called the Goral Hagra, we'll see in a second, there really is no record of anything to do with the Vilna Gaon, but he has a whole chapter on the Goral Hagra and the history of it and stories and things of that nature. And he records this tradition coming going to the Goral Hagra. He's really piggybacking off of the work that was done by Rabbi Landa, who wrote the real famous biography of the Vilna Gaon called Hagon HaChassid Mivilna. So on page 399, Rabbi Landa has about 10 pages where he also did research. So Dov Eliach is building on that research. And part of the discussion, he cites that in the British Museum, there is a manuscript that tells us the procedure of the Goral Hagra that was handed down. And it tells you that you should take an accurate chumash without Navi or any haftorahs, just has to be chumash, and you place your right pinky on the phrase Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, and your left pinky on the phrase Le'enei Kol Yisrael, and with your thumbs you open the Sefer to a random place and you count seven pages, not folios, and on the eighth page you count seven lines from the top, and the eighth line you count seven words, and after the seventh word you see what the pasuk is, and that pasuk should, so to speak, talk to you about the issue that you're having. You have a great suffix. You have two options in front of you. You don't know what to do. And you turn to this lottery in order to find something in the Torah that will speak to you to guide you in your path of what to do, of what to, how to proceed in this issue. And regardless of what we just said from the Spanish script, that is in the British Museum. There's pictures of it. It is a real thing. But there is no real tradition or any solid source that links this to the Vilna Gaon in any way whatsoever. However, we'll see that all the stories that are told about the using the Goral Hagra, we only find by Lithuanian Gedolim. So it could be that there's some sort of tradition from the Beis Medrash to the Vilna Gaon, but we have no record of the Vilna Gaon doing this himself anyway. There are other traditions regarding this type of Goral. Some say they use a Tanakh. Some say it's important to use the old double-columned Chumashim. Right? We've seen the old Chumashim that have two columns of the writing, that's what you should use. Others say to use the Tehillim. And it's agreed by everyone, though, that the Goral Hagra is only used in dire situations where, really, you don't know how to proceed with A or B, and all the options seem to be either bad or equally good, and your person has to be on a level with fasting and giving tzedakah and tshuva. And not everyone who decides, you know, they don't know what to have for lunch, you know, lasagna or pizza, should you open up and do a Goral Hagra. There has to be something of substantial nature, a real need. Let's just go through some of the highlights and some of the famous stories told about the performance of a Goral Hagra. In the biography of the Chafetz Chaim by his student Rav Yashar, so he records that the Chafetz Chaim had a certain way of doing the Goral, and he would always fast on the days which he performed the Goral. So in 1914, when World War I was beginning in the city of Radin, and the city was in danger, the Chafetz Chaim didn't know how to proceed with his yeshiva. Should he move the yeshiva, or should he stay and see what happens? He performed the Goral, and he opens the pasuk of Vayachatz Es Ha'am Asher Yitol L'Shtei Machanos V'Hayah HaMachaneh Nishar L'Peitah. And the Chafetz Chaim did that. He did the exact advice that Yaakov took, and he divided his camp into two. Half the yeshiva stayed in Iran, and the other half fled. And until after the war, everybody met up afterwards, and it worked out. So that was one case where a person used the Goral Hagra. Another occasion, the Chafetz Chaim needed to go deep into Russia to collect money for the yeshiva, but he was afraid that such a long trip wouldn't be successful. There was a lot of issues that could come up along the way. Is it worth his time, the money, the expenses? He performed the Goral Hagra. He lands on the Pasuk of Anochi Eredi Mach Mitzrayma. Then Hashem will go down to the Mitzrayim, and the Chafetz Chaim proceeded on his journey. When the Chavetz Chaim's Talmud, Rav Eliyahu Lopian, wanted to know if he should go live in London or he should stay in Europe, he performed the Goral, and it landed on this Pasuk as well, that I'm going to go with you into Mitzrayim, and he then went to live in London at that time. And when I was learning in Yeshiva Neretz Yisrael in Nevaseret, so there was the Menahel of the Israeli high school on the same campus, so his name was Rav Eliyahu Sofer, and he was a Talmud of Rav Eliyahu Lopian, and he used to give a chabura on one of the nights of the week, and he told us stories about the Goral Hagra, and he learned from his Rabbi Rabbi Elpian, and he also performed it. He had a situation about Shidduchim, he wasn't sure whether to do the Shidduch or not, and he also had this Mesora from his Rebbe. The Briska Rav wanted to know whether he should escape to America or he should go to Eretz Yisrael. This is a question many people had at that time at the beginning of the war, and he performed the Goral and lands on the Pasuk in Tehillim that says, El Makom Zeh Yesadat Alehem, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, this place that Hashem founded for you, Eretz Yisrael, and he proceeded to Eretz Yisrael.
He used the Tehillim for it.
He used the Tehillim. So that's certainly a different tradition. Rav Aaron Kuller was invited by Rav Moshe Feinstein to come to America. He was unsure whether to go to America or to go to Eretz Yisrael, and his Goral landed on the Pasuk of Vayomer Hashem al Aaron, Lech Likras Moshe HaMidbara. Aaron should go visit Moshe in the Midbar, and based on that, he came to America. In the biography of Ari Levine, a tzaddik in our time, Ish Tzaddik Haya, depending on whatever version you have, is probably the most famous version of the Goral Hagra. After the unfortunate events of the attack on Gush Etzion, there were 12 bodies of the 35 people, the Lamed Hay. There are streets named in Eretz Yisrael, Rehov Lamed Hay, for the 35 people who were trapped when the Arabs attacked and besieged Gush Etzion. There were 12 bodies that they could not identify. And Rav Aryeh Levine performed a Goral Hagra, standing in front of each of the bodies. The whole accounting is there, and all the notes that were taken are there, and how it was written up in the newspapers, and it was reconfirmed afterwards. And the whole event that happened, he used a Goral Hagra to identify which of the 12 bodies that were so badly massacred belonged to which of the 12 names that they couldn't identify at that time. Many other Gedolei Yisrael as well used a Goral Hagra. Rav Dessler has stories, Rav Chaska Abramsky has stories, Rav Chaska Levenstein has stories, Rav Rucham Levavitz, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, the Rosh Yeshiva Ber Yaakov. All of them use their Goral Hagra. I think it's very interesting, but it's also telling that I don't know of any stories of Hasidim using a Goral Hagra. Because Hasidim have a Rebbe, that could be the answer for them. But we only find it by Lithuanian Roshi Yeshiva and Talmidei Chachamim. This is the tradition from Lita regarding this type of a Goral. However, not everybody liked it. If you look at the first words on the page, you have the Orchos Rabbeinu of the Stipler, Chelek Aleph, and page Reish Yud Ches, and it tells us regarding the Goral Hagra, Sapardi lo Shagon Echad Zatzal, and I told him his name, he didn't want to tell us his name, but someone did a Kol Pam Goral Hagra, Pam Amar Sha'asas Agora Velo Anu Lomina Shemayim, and one time he wasn't successful in it, and I asked my Rebbe, the Stipler, Manis Kavim Bezeh, so he said, V'hosif Limori V'Rebbe, Shehu Af Pam Lo Nisa Agora Hagra. So the Cypher said, sometimes you get an answer, sometimes you don't. And the Cypher then said, I never used a Goral Hagra. Rav Chaim Kanievsky confirmed his father never used a Goral Hagra. So not everyone from that school or that base medrash, it could be the Cypher is not your classic Lithuanian Gadol, nevertheless, not everyone ascribed to using a Goral Hagra. The earliest source that we have for such a concept of opening up a Chumash and flipping pages back and forth appears in the writings of Rav Shmuel Shol Sariro, who was the rabbi in Fez, Morocco, in the generation right after the Beis Yosef. The manuscript in which he writes about this is so old, I didn't even bring it here because you wouldn't be able to read it. So he gives such a model of opening up a Chumash and flipping pages back and forth. Rav Chaim Vital uses the Chumash as the Goral in his Sefer Goral HaKadosh and his Sefer HaSegulos. So we do have an old tradition going back almost 500 years to that time. And Reb Chaim Vital explains that the purpose of the Goral, of this lottery of opening up the Chumash, is to increase one's emunah in Hashem and to know that Hashem runs the world. But it should be noted that the Tanakh is also full of several type of goralos. Meaning, using a goral, using a lottery system to get information, is not an anathema to the Torah. We have on Yom Kippur, using a goral with the different goats that would be sent to Azazel. The division of Eretz Yisrael was made with a goral. That's clear in the Torah.
But that's God's specific command, each one.
True.
I mean, do we have people did it outside of
God? Outside. Well, the next example is Yehoshua getting the spoils of war from Achan. That's also from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shaul told the people to fast until evening, and they prepared for war, and he used a girl to find out that Yonasan ate. I don't think that was based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command.
Is that the secret?
But that wasn't, I don't think that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. That was Shaul on his own using a goral. So, the sailors on the boat, they used a goral to find out with Yonah doing it. Hey, it's not Jews, true. But we do have such a tradition of a goral being used. Now, let's turn to the issue. So we've backed up that there's a concept of a goral. There are stories about a goral. So what's the problem? The Parshish Shoftim, it says, the Torah, we shouldn't engage in fortune-telling because Tavim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Rashi explains, we should walk with Hashem and trust what Hashem has in store for us and not delve into the future. Whatever happens, you accept the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch right in Yeradan and Kufay and Tess, that all distinct types of methods of trying to figure out the future are usur. We don't do these types of things. Now look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes in Siddim Kufayim Tess as follows. The Perek Yeralf Behilchas of Odezara, he quotes in Rambam, he says, B'kasam Avinu Yerucham, and he says, he quotes a Sifri. The Sifri says that Nukudos B'Ksav O B'chol B'chol B'yotzva Elu Dvarim Adkan. Sorry, I didn't quote the whole Sifri properly here, I cut it from the wrong place, but he quotes a Sifri that says that one shouldn't use lotteries. It's usher to use lotteries based on Tamtam Hashem Lakacha. Now the problem is, we have no such Sifri. If you look in the notes and all the new tours, they'll tell you that we don't have such Sifri telling us that you can't use lotteries. So even though the Beis Yosef seems to say that lotteries are a problem, nevertheless, we already automatically call that source into question. And we're going to see later on that not all lotteries are going to be problematic. So what do we do with the Goral HaGra? The Goral HaGra seems to be a lottery. The Beis Yosef says lotteries are problematic. So what do we say? So the answer that's brought down by people who discuss this is generally that it's based on the following principle that we have in Gemara. I didn't bring all the Gemaras here because some of them are lengthy, so you're going to have to trust me that they exist. The Gemara tells us in a number of places that Tanai and Amoraim would engage in the concept of psok lipsukech. They would find a child who was learning Chumash in school, and they had a question. They would say, tell me, young man, what pasuk you have to in Chumash? And the child would recite the pasuk that they were learning. And based on the pasuk that the child told them, this would inform them or influence them in their decision about how to proceed. There was some sort of nevuah in this pasuk that the child told us. This is Gemara in Gidin and Daf Samaches. The Gemara in Gidin tells us that the servants of the Resh Galusa, the exilarch at that time, were unscrupulous people who served their master non-kosher food, who served the Resh Galusa, the head of the Jewish community, food that was treif. So Rav Sheshes knew about this, and he had a secret, and he was going to tell the Resh Galusa. And the servants wanted to kill Rav Sheshes for going to squeal on them. Rav Sheshes was leaving, so they dug a pit for him, and they threw a mat over it to cover the hole, like in the movies, right? You're going to capture the person, so you dug a pit and you cover it up, and he's going to fall into the hole. Now, what's the issue here? Rav Sheshes was blind. So Rav Sheshes was blind, and they expected him to fall into the pit. And Rav Chisda coughed very loudly, pit. And Rav Sheshes would know that there was a pit in front of him, so Rav Sheshes knew something was wrong. So he turned to a young boy who was next to him, and he said, "Psok li psukech. What pasuk are you learning in Chumash?" So the boy quoted the pasuk in Shmuel Beis that says that you should turn to your right or to your left. So that's what he did. He turned away, didn't go straight, and he avoided the pit. So this enabled him to uncover the plot, and he escaped unharmed. So we have one example of psok li psukech. The Gemara in Chulin Sadihei records that Rav Yochanan would often ask children to recite psukim to show him how to act in cases where he was unsure but how to proceed. And Shmuel would open the Sefer Torah and see which psukim would come up. So we have traditions from Amorayim in this realm as well. And the most famous is probably the Medrash in Esther Rabbah. The Medrash in Esther Rabbah in Zion Yud Zion tells us that when Mordechai found out about the Gzeira of Haman and what was going to happen to the Jewish people, he was distraught and his emunah was shaken and he didn't know how to proceed. Is this a punishment from Hashem? How are we supposed to react in such a situation? So he came and he found a number of children who were in school. And he asked them, three children, psukli psukeich, tell me what psukim you are learning in school. And the first child quoted the pasuk of Altira Mipachat Pisom, Umisas Rishayim Kisava. Don't be afraid, because the Rishayim are going to be punished. The second child said, Utsu Eitz of the Super, Dabu Dabu Lo Yakom, Ki Manukel. They have treacherous plans to destroy us, but they're all going to fail because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And the last pasuk said, "V'ad zikna ani hu, v'ad seva ani asbo, ani asisi v'ani asav, ani asbo v'amaleit." That Haman said, you know, don't worry about the Jewish guy. He's old and he's gray. He doesn't hear them anymore and he doesn't care about them. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not old. I'm right here. I'm going to protect the Jewish people. And with that chizik from these three psukim, Mordechai said, I know everything is going to be all right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. We're going to daven. We're going to get things done. And the rest is history. Those three psukim are collected and put at the end of Aleinu. Some people have the minag. Some people don't. Why those three psukim? A shir for another time. So we have a tradition of psokli psukeich. How does this come out halacha l'maisa? Look in the Shulchan Aruch here on the page. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Ayin Tes in Simin Dalet, in Sif Dalet. Base tinok v'isha afal pish e nechosh yesh siman. Now, what does this mean, base tinok? So the Ma'ari Kashas, this is referring to the concept of asking the child what pasuk they're learning. The Ramah then says, im hetzliach achar zeh shalosh pamim, olo. V'chein mutter lomar l'tinok psok l'psukeich. Says the Ramah, halacha l'maisa, you can ask the child, tell me what pasuk you're learning. And that pasuk can inform what you're going to do and how you're going to proceed. And that's what the Ramah says, and that's how he gives us the halacha. This is also the opinion of the Rambam, and this is also the opinion of the Tur. Now the Taz over here, if you look in Sifkatz and Gimel on top, the Taz writes, in the second line, Upsokli Psukeich, Havakei Nevua Kitana. It's like a small Nevua coming from the child. This probably relates to the Gemara that says that Nevua was given to children after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But there's some sort of a Nevua in the purity and the Kiddush of children learning Torah, turning to the words of the Torah. It's like a small Nevua, and this would be a permissible thing to do. The Shach, which I cut off unfortunately over here, goes further and says that according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can act on this Pasuk, and even for future events, because it's Sas Nevua, says the Shach. It's allowed to do it, and this is not a problem at all. This is an understanding also of the Ran. I don't know why nobody quotes this Ran, but the Ran in the Chedushim and Chulin and Sadiheim and Beis writes on the Gemara we just discussed about Rav and Rav Yochanan and Shmuel using Pesukim. He says, Shinyano shel tinok eno mitzadadei hanachash. It's not nichosh to ask the child which Pesuk. El kago nevua kitana, which is the language of the Taz. Kedaminum parakamad of Abbasra, nis nevua latinokos. It's a type of nevua. It's a 100% valid way to glean information about how to proceed in a person's life. So, what do we do now? Can we use a garl hagra? Seemingly, there's a concept of psokli psukeich. So the Chida writes in the Shurei HaBracha, I didn't bring it over here because I'm going to quote from his next source in a second, in Yoredei over here, and he cites the Ma'ari Kash, who says that one is allowed to open a chumash to see psukim, because kihem chayenu, Torah is our life. Where else would you turn for advice, if not the Torah itself? And we see that Yoshiyahu HaMelech also began his tshuva movement, and began a renaissance of repentance for the Jewish people, even though eventually he would be killed and lead to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. But his tshuva movement began because they opened up a Sefer Devarim, and it said, Arur curses the person who doesn't fulfill the Torah. And he was so shattered by the fact that at that moment, that pasuk spoke to him. We see that a person opens up the psukim of the Torah, and something can speak to them and affect them.
Yoshiyahu is different. That's
Yoshiyahu.
Yoshiyahu, when the Rabbi Noach, the first reader of Torah, is crude because that's directly to doing the things he wasn't doing. It's not like you're reading into the pasuk. When you read the Haftarah, it appears direct. I mean, it's
saying, but he could have opened up to, you know, Vayidbar Hashem L'Shalim more.
But when Devarim did what the Melech read to, might have had that. Anyways, it's Devarim was the, but they had
that only cuts it down to 1/5. Meaning, I hear the question, but clearly there was some sort of message from Hashem speaking to him.
When I understand the Goral Abroad, you're picking things in examples which aren't direct shot of a pasuk. Here, the Yoshiyahu.
I hear the point that Yoshiyahu is there, but correct. Yoshiyahu is just be a sniff. It's just an aside to the discussion. There's a psikti he quotes of Rav Kahana, which says that if you want advice, you should take it from the Torah. And he quotes others who also have a tradition, you need advice, you should learn from the words of the Torah. You should see the psukim and see what they mean to you. And it appears that if you're unsure how to act, there's a good place to rely on the verses of Tanakh. And this seems to be the basis of the Goral Hagra, that you look to the psukim, that the Torah itself, through your reliance and amunah on the words of the Torah, will open up and speak to you. The chidah is not done. If you look at the Tshuvas Chaim Shal in Chelek Beis and Lamed Ches, I don't know what happened to my printer. I just cut off everything on the side. So let me tell you what he says. So you can read half of it. But he writes as follows. He says that there's a tradition from the Rambam. There's a Tshuva of the Rambam in Siman Shinai and Dalad. You can't open up a chumash in order to perform a public gora like the Goyim. But the Chida says, the Rambam's talking about people who would proselytize. There would be people who would go from house to house and open up any verse of the Bible and say, oh, look, you know, this verse is telling you A, B, and C, and try to get people to convert to their religion and try to mislead people. The Rambam is speaking to that type of public showing, that display, that turning it into a circus. That's inappropriate. But for a person who has done tshuva and fasting, and it's personal for you, and it's between you and Hashem, it's true we know the stories of these people who did these things, but at that moment it was a personal event, so says the Chida, that is perfectly okay. And these comments of the Chida are cited lahalacha by the Darkei Tshuva in his work as well. The Chida discusses this in different places, the Pardes Yosef and Parshas Achrimos by the Goral of Yom Kippur brings this as well, as do other poskim. In the Hakdama of the Tchelas Mordechai, the Maharsham, the Rebbe of Brzezhan, so his son also writes that his father would engage in using the Tanakh to seek clarity when he had different issues as well. And the Tameh Minhagim in the Lakuta Yanam and Osman Beis records the Baal Shem Tov would also use Pesukim, and he would invoke the Mishnah in Avos that says, Hafoch ba ba hafoch ba dekula ba, turn the Torah over and over because everything is there, Uva sechazeh, and in it you'll see it. So the Baal Shem Tov says, you see it in the Torah, is a remez, is a hint. If a person approaches it in an honest and a tamim way, the Torah can speak to you. It's not superstition, and it's not relying on outside forces. It's turning to the Torah itself. And this seems to be the basis of the Goral Hagra. Rav Shermach has a tshuva and tshuvas vanagos and aleph and tachrim and dalet. And he says that if a person is faced with a dilemma with what to do, and he has two equal choices, and he can't decide, you can draw lots. And he says, this is not usher because the Goral is not determining anything new. You don't use the Goral Hagra, says the Sternbach, if you want to know something that's out of your purview. What's going to be in 5 years? That's not what we do. Says the Sternbach, you only use the Goral Hagra when there are two options in front of you. You don't open up a chumash to know and say, you know, what's going to be in 7 years from now? You know, who am I going to marry? You know, where am I going to be living? That's not what it's for. It's for when you have those two options and the reality is already revealed in front of you. Now, there's one caveat, and this is something that Rav Shechter likes to point out. Rav Shechter understands that it only works with Torah Shebichsav. It is not useful in Torah Shebaal Peh. The whole idea, if it's based on Psokli Psukeich, if that's where it's coming from, it must mean that it's based on Psukim. It's based on words. The Bnei Yisaskar writes in Chodesh Sivan, he wants to know how come and the Amoraim didn't just open up a Chumash then. If it's all connected, then why'd they go bother these kids and ask them Sukkim? Why didn't they just open up a Chumash or a Tanakh? So he says, because in the days of Amoraim, who had a Tanakh? Everything was Torah scrolls. Nobody was carrying a Torah scroll with them, you know, to go. It wasn't appropriate to carry a Torah scroll around for your own personal use. Torah scrolls were in the shuls, but you had one in the Beis Medrash. But it's not something you carried around. So the easiest thing was to ask a kid who was learning Chumash. That's how the Bnei Yisrael explains it. But what about Torah Shebaal Peh? Does it work with opening a Gemara, a Mishnayos? So there's a parish on the Urim called the Arzei Halvanon. So the Arzei Halvanon, the Amudei Arazim. The Amudei Arazim writes in the end of Perach Afal that he once did it with Mishnayos. I wouldn't bring that as a great proof. But Rav Shechter says you can't use it with Torah Shebaal Peh. And with this, he calls into question the Minigan Chabad. The Minigan Chabad, for many people, is to use a goral, so to speak, with the Igros Kodesh of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Many Lubavitchers will take a question and write it on a piece of paper and stick it inside one of the 20 volumes or so of the letters of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They're all dated from the beginning to when he passed away, and put it inside. I don't know the rules of how it works. Can you pick which volume, how long it has to marinate for inside the book? I'm not sure how it works, but you put it inside, and whatever letter you put the question in somehow speaks to you. I remember reading an article, Rabbi Braun, who's the dayan in Crown Heights. He said that their dayanim in Crown Heights are not a fan of this. They don't advocate people doing it, but they see that people get responses that are interesting, so they don't say anything about it. Whatever it is, I'm not speaking for the Chabad community, Rav Shechter thinks that it's a big problem, and it could be nichush. It could be a violation because it's not Torah Shebichsav. The whole heter is based on Psokim Psukeich. The Lubavitcher Rebbe's letters, which are beautiful and major assets to Torah Shebaal Peh, are not Torah Shebichsav.
Besides, Torah Shebichsav has a structure, each puzzle. Torah Shebaal Peh, all things you kite that's just artificial.
Correct.
Printing.
100%. But whatever it is, I'm not here to speak for that community. Okay. Just to be aware, based on this point, that
difference between. I mean, you cite it because it's easy for us to weigh our printing.
Correct.
That's not an essence of Torah Shebaal Peh.
Correct. So just to be aware that the only works according to the poskim, it only works with Torah Shebichsav. It does not work and is not effective with Torah Shebaal Peh. And it really shouldn't be used in those types of areas. I just want to end with a few more points. And that is that the Chassam Sofer on the Pasuk of V'haysa'i mo v'kara bo kol yimei chayav says that a Jew can see the story of his life somewhere in a Sefer Torah. Every aspect of the Torah can speak to a person to every single detail. There's a comment of the Gra in the Safra de Sneus in his parish in Parakeh where he says that every single thing, not just Klalim, but every single details of a person's life, if they have the correct sensitivity, can be found in the writings of the Torah. So we do, maybe that's the connection to the Vilna Gaon, his comments in the Safa Tzniusa. But whatever it is, we'll end with one last story. Rav Meir Tzvi Grossman is a Mechaber Sfarim. So he has a beautiful sefer called Mipinkaso Shomeratza, which is just different stories, events, writings, his opinions on different things in his lifetime. So he records an interesting account about the Girl Hagra. He writes that when he was a young man, he was obsessed with the Girl Hagra. He thought it was so interesting, and he would ask people to teach it to him, and everyone would push him away and say, it's not for you, you're too young, you don't need it, you have to be a tzaddik, and they would say, you know, just leave it alone. And eventually, he grew out of it. So one time, he was in the British Museum, and he came across that manuscript of the attributing the rules of the Girl Hagra, and this infatuation came over him again. So in the British Museum, the librarian must have been a yeshiva graduate who was, I guess, in charge of the Judaic section at that time. And he said, I want to tell you a story about how careful you have to be when using Girl Hagra. So the librarian said that when he was in yeshiva in England, there was two groups of bachurim in the yeshiva, half were misnagdim and half were chassidim. So one dinner in the yeshiva, one night, the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, the different Bachram, got into an argument over Hasidus, so it was right, it was wrong. And in the heat of the argument, there was a Bachur who was from Italy, who was not a Hasid, and he said something not nice about the Baal Shem Tov. And the Hasidish Bachram were very upset, very offended. They went to the Amhala of the Yeshiva, and they said, you have to kick this guy out, it's not appropriate, how can you say such a thing about an Adam Gadol, the Baal Shem Tov? It's wrong. And the Misnagdim, the other Bachram from Lita, and from Poland, they said, no, it was a mistake, don't worry about it, it's not such a big deal, you should stay in the yeshiva. And they went to defend their friend. And they argued back and forth. So the Rosh Yeshiva decided we're going to do a Goral Hagra, of how to proceed in this case. So they did a Goral Hagra, and the Pasuk came up was from Tehillim. They obviously also must have used a Tehillim. And the Pasuk said, Te'almana sifsei sheker, hadovros al tzadik asak, begava uvaz. You should shut the mouth of those who lie, who speak about the tzaddik. That's what the pasuk said. So the chassidim said, we won, we're right. It says that how could you say such a thing about the Baal Shem Tov? You have to quiet him, throw him out of the yeshiva. We're right. So the other Bachrim responded and said, no, that's not what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk means, Talmud Sif Sheker, you, the Hasidish Bachrim, are saying things that are not true and incorrect about our friend. You should be quiet and you should leave him alone. And the yeshiva was left with the suffix, because they realized you could read the Pasuk both ways. I don't know what happened with the Bachar, but the librarian wanted to show Rabbi Grossman that you have to be careful. That yes, you come up with a Pasuk, but two different people could read the same Pasuk two different ways. So yes, it's true there's a concept of the Gerol Hagra, and yes, there's a place for it, but even so, you have to be very wary when using it, and be careful about how it's going to guide you, and know that there are different opinions, and there has to be a lot of clarity. At the end of the day, the best thing is, Tav Mitiyam Hashem Lakecha, Torah Mitzvos, using your Seichel HaYashar, and serving Hashem in the best possible way.